question I want to ask is, if, with one thought, what could we sum up all the unworldliness, all the lack of following God today? If we could sum that up in one thought, think about that for a second. What comes to your mind? What is it? Because that, honestly, there's a thousand different answers to that, but they all kind of lead back to, in my mind, you could at least phrase it as a lack of respect or a lack of fear or a lack of love for God, ultimately. Now, it could be selfishness. We could go on a thousand different tangents from that point, all directed back at ourselves or the rest of humanity for that part. But mostly, we're dealing with a lack of respect or a lack of love for God is what we're dealing with. And coinciding with that, obviously, a lack of fear for the Lord as well. Not one solution, but at least a partial answer to that, that I think many of the denominational groups out there and a lot of the, unfortunately, a lot of the members of the church are taking a very lackadaisical stance on God. They're looking at Him more as a friend or as a comrade and not as the creator of this world, the creator of us. One thing I have definitely learned since I've been married to my wife and being in-laws with the Odoms, as I very much appreciate when David leads a prayer. He puts an emphasis. There's no question in my mind or anyone else that listens to a prayer from David. One of the major points that he always makes in that prayer is how powerful the Lord is and how low we are. Now, that could be taken back and saying, man, you conservative right-wing Christians are always wanting to beat us down and always wanting to say how low and how terrible we are. Well, if you think about it, I mean, if you want to put it in that context, sure, we're pretty lowly. We sin against God, the Creator that has set down a perfect law for us to follow, and yet we, on a daily basis, we have a problem or have issues trying to follow it. So yeah, we're not perfect. I'll say that. Plain and simple. But back to my solution there, a little sidebar, but to keep ourselves from having the same problem that a lot of the world has got right now, number one, keeping our minds focused on higher things. That is, it is increasingly harder to do. And I know, even more so now than I thought I was before, having a child and a wife, it takes up more and more and more of your time. And as you want to be a good provider for your family, you want to work, and make sure that all their needs and some of their wants are taken care of as well. Somewhere along the way, you got to get some sleep in there too. So now all of a sudden we're left with less time to serve the Lord. And if your priorities aren't right, if you're not keeping your mind on higher things, it's a very easy thing to slip into. So keep that in mind. Stay in your own place. What I mean is know who and what you are. You are God's creation. We are, as I've heard a lot of old heads or older men in the church say, we're whittling constantly on God's end of the stick. We're worried about the laws, the rules, everything else that He's put in place, and we're worrying less about ourselves and wanting to say, well, that just doesn't seem right to me. You know, I know that's your interpretation of the Scriptures, but it just doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. So remember your place. Remember your place. Count your blessings. Think about that for a minute. Yeah, we pray at every meal, and we pray before we go to bed, and we pray when we get up in the morning, but do you really stop and think about all of the blessings that you've got in this life? Okay? Going down to San Antonio and being safety guys, we always like to spice up our presentations with videos and such to get people's attention. And one of the things you see a lot of, third world countries, they don't have a very good concept of what safe practices are. So they're constantly maiming themselves and blowing themselves up and just doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And so you grab this stuff and you want to throw it out there. to grab people's attention. But think about that in and of itself. The country that we live in, the standard of life that we've got, even some of the lowest people in this country are fairly wealthy compared to people that live on a dirt floor with a couple of cinder blocks and a piece of tin over their head. So count your blessings. Remain humble. Harder and harder to do. As you become older, one thing I'm finding, as you become older, yes, you do become wiser. You get more experience in life and you understand that was a very stupid mistake or that was something I probably shouldn't have done. And so I'm reaping the, well, I guess not benefits, but I'm reaping the results of my stupid actions. So you have that benefit now. Well, hey, I know that. I'm a little bit better. And as long as you keep that in context, you hopefully you won't repeat the same mistakes. But at the same time, that knowledge, you feel a little bit brighter. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're going down the wrong path. I already know about that. Well, that's not necessarily a wrong thing, but remember to keep your attitude in check. Don't convolute your problems and your issues. Okay? One of the first things, one thing that I'm responsible for on some degrees, going into areas we're having problems, people are making accusations and so on and so forth, so we'll go in there and we'll evaluate and say, okay, yes or no, that's true or it's not true. One thing that I know myself I'm guilty of, and I know probably everyone in here is guilty of at some point, is we will bring a problem up. I have a problem with you, Lorna. You did this to me. Well, then you'll fire back some rebuttal, and I'll bring up another issue that, in my mind, it has completely to do with what we're dealing with, but it has nothing else to deal with the problem that I'm talking to you about right now. Okay, as humans, we have that issue over and over and over. Where we want to bring all of our problems into one thing. They're all related. Deal with issues that you have problems with. If I'm not coming to church, say I stopped attending church, or at least regularly, okay, and Damon comes to me and he says, hey Wes, I'm concerned about you, I just want you to know that I care for you, and, you know, trying to lift me up, trying to get me back involved and doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, then I want to bring another problem in. Well, you know, one of the reasons I don't come is when this happens, people look at you the wrong way whenever you come back. Or, well, I've just been really busy at work, and I can't find the time. These are separate issues. Deal with each of those issues in and of themselves, and then deal with your issue, your relationship with God. Make sure that's first and foremost, and then deal with your other problems. We want to tie all this stuff up together and deal with it all at one time. Remember, as they say, Rome wasn't built in a day, or you know, perfection takes time. But all these things we've got to deal with individually. And lastly, I know I made a bunch of statements here, but the thing that I want to focus on tonight is keeping God-centered prayers. Okay, our prayer life is probably one of the most important things in our spiritual lives. It is how you talk with God. It's how you convene with Him. It's how you spend your time with Him. Not just in another word, but that is how you portray your needs, your hardships that you're going through, your insecurities, your weaknesses. That's how you deal with that, is through prayer to Him. And if we don't, number one, keep that first and foremost in our lives by keeping a good, strong prayer life to God, we're going to falter. Secondly, and I think tied back into this manifestation of God as my friend or God as my pal or my buddy, is not keeping God-centered prayers. Before I go on with that point, let's turn to 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. Chapter 7, verse 18. Now, what I will preface this just a little bit. Pay attention to the words that David is saying in this prayer. Okay? Okay? Pay attention to the words he's saying. Then David the king went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house, that thou hast brought me this far? And yet this wasn't insignificant in thine eyes, O Lord God, for thou hast spoken also of the house of thy servant concerning the distant future. And this is the custom of man, O Lord God. And again, what more can David say to thee, for thou knowest thy servant, O Lord God? For the sake of thy word, and according to thine own heart, thou hast done all this greatness to let thy servant know. For this reason thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, and there is no God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation on the earth is like thy people, Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people and to make a name for himself and do a great thing for thee and awesome things for thy land before thy people whom thou hast redeemed for thyself from Egypt, from nations and their gods. For thou hast established for thyself thy people Israel and thine own people forever, and thou, O Lord, hast become their God. Now therefore, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and his household, confirm it forever, and do as thou hast spoken, that thy name may be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and may thy house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, hast made a revelation to thy servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore thy servant has found courage to pray this prayer to thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art God, and thy words are true, and thou hast promised this good thing to thy servant. Now therefore, may it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken, and with thy blessing may the house of thy servant be blessed forever." Okay, there's a lot of stuff we can get out of this prayer, obviously. But the thing that I want to key in on is his reach to God. Okay, he has completely humbled himself, in my opinion, in this prayer. He has recognized all the great things that God has done for him and that he's promised. And we know that this is about the covenant that God has made with David about his house. He has... He's established that he trusts God, all right, and anything that God has said, and he knows that God will deliver. Okay, so there's an absolute trust, there's a bond there, like a father to a son. That when my dad told me something, whether it was going to be, Wes, I'm going to help you with this, or Wes, if you do that again, I'm going to spank you, I knew either way that was going to happen. Okay, because there was that trust, there was that bond there. But most importantly, he recognizes that because he knows how powerful and how God is. There's none other like him. Okay? And we could read 100 prayers in the Old Testament to God, and we would see the same thing repeated. Okay? We would see a very humble stance towards God. Just the picture I get from this is David just face first to the ground while he's praying to God. Just as absolute humble as he can be, because he knows the blessings that God has, number one, already bestowed on him, and that he will be bestowing on him. And he's completely humbled, and he's very thankful for that as well. But that, to me, is very much a God-centered prayer. That it's not about me, it's not about what my family needs, it's not about this, it's not about that. It is thanking God for what he's done, number one, and recognizing his power. We can also, and we won't turn and read there, but Luke, the 22nd chapter in verse 39, you can turn there and read later if you'd like, but that is Jesus' prayer to God. we all know the words, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But what does he come back and say? What does he come back and say? Not my will, but thy will be done. Right? Again, an absolute display of humility, saying, this is what I want, God, but I know this is, I will do what you want me to do, whatever, and I'll be fine with it. Okay, that's the whole idea there. Some things are easier said than done. Pray without doubt, pray without ceasing, pray for your enemies, all those different things that we've been taught since we were kids to do. But if you take the right perspective, if you maintain a God-centered prayer, those things will come naturally, they'll come easily. A couple things to remember to take back from this. Number one, and I think, again, what has gotten us into trouble is we've dealt less logically with the Bible and we've brought more emotion into it. Now I know you say, Wes, that's kind of contradicting. You're talking about, you know, having a relationship like you do with your father to God, a trust and a humility. And those, obviously, they're emotional feelings tied with that. But we've gotten into more of a, well, I just don't, you know, I don't feel that's right. I don't feel that's necessary. I don't feel that your interpretation of the Bible is correct. Well, you get down to the nuts and bolts of it and you look more logically at what God has put in this Bible, bring those things back with you. Remember that your emotions, in the last day, when we're being judged, I'm sorry, God's not going to care how you felt about it. He just isn't. He laid down the law. He sent His Son. Now, you want to talk about emotion. Talk about a God sending His Son down on the cross to die for us, to go through more than what we ever will. And then talk to me about emotion. I don't feel that's right. God wants service and He wants work out of us. Remember that. Are we always excited to go to work? No, I know I'm not. Well, now I am because I really love my job, but not all of us, and I haven't been all my life. Most of the time it's always been get up in the morning and you go through your routine, you go to work, and after a while you kind of warm up a little bit and you feel a little bit better, and now you're starting to talk to people. Something that I've heard recently that disturbs me a lot, and I've heard it from quite a few Christians, is people saying that, my heart's just not in it. I just don't feel it whenever I go to services. Well, number one, what's the first question you need to ask yourself? Why are you going to service in the first place? Well, you're going there because you're fulfilling a commandment, okay? You're fulfilling the examples that have been left for us in the New Testament. We are to praise God, okay? We are to worship God. And that's a whole nother sermon in and of itself. But the next couple of questions that you need to ask after yourself are probably even more important than that. Where do you lay your troubles, if that's the case? You know, are you so worried by the world and so distrusting in God that He won't take care of you that you feel you need to take all this on your own? Are you thankful? Are you humble? If you have the right attitude towards all this, I think you will find yourself wanting to be at service and wanting to thank and praise and worship God for what He's done for you. I've already talked too long. and I'm not going to ramble on any longer. But the key here is we have brothers and sisters around us that struggle. Okay, maybe not so much in this congregation, but we do through family members and friends that we've got. Remind them of why they became a Christian. Remind them of the great things that God's done for them. And remind them that you're there to help them as well. That you're not looking down on them. That you're trying to help them. appreciate very much your attention tonight. I know this isn't my normal type of sermon. I like to throw lots of scriptures and such in there, but haven't been prepared like I wanted to. But I hope the message is clear enough. And I think it is. I think God's laid it out perfect, the exact way He wanted to portray it in the scriptures. If there's anyone here tonight that needs the prayers of the congregation, we would ask that you would let us know. And if there's anyone that is not a member that wants to become a member and wants to talk about it, any of us would be happy to discuss that with you. Or if you want to become a Christian this afternoon, now is the perfect time. We ask that you would come forward as we stand and sing.